Dear people of God, in this Christmas season, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience to the glorious redemption brought to us by His Holy Child. And let us make this place glad with our carols of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of the whole world, for peace and goodwill over all the earth, for the mission and unity of the church for which He died, and especially for the church in this country and within this city. And because God particularly loves them, let us at this time remember the poor and the helpless, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those who mourn, the lonely and unloved, the aged and little children, and all those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, let us remember before God Jesus' pure and lowly mother, and all those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no one can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in Jesus we are one forevermore. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven in the words which Christ Himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle, and to the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed."
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You'll not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate it." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have not listened to the voice of your wife, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living, and the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, "See, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might reach out his hand and also take from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken.
Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry for her, that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Lord, word of our Lord will stand forever. Get you up into a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Said to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flocks like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep.
The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good.
Thank you.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed in a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Thank you.
The time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, and he has spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them.
Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "You make his angels winds and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And in the beginning, Lord, you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing, like a cloak. You will roll them up, and like clothing, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never end.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known."
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I think this is the first Lessons and Carols I've been to in probably 20 years. Here at St. Thaddeus, we always have this at the Sunday after Christmas, and I'm usually traveling with family to visit other family during the holidays, and I miss it every year. So I'm excited to be here this year. I think that, you know, the joy of the Christmas season is about God coming into the world. And I feel blessed to be able to celebrate that with you. And I was trying to decide and think about what I might talk about today, and we got 9 lessons, and how do you incorporate them all, or do you even try to, or do you try to find a theme? And when we think of that, this season is about God coming into the world. We have a situation here where all these lessons talk about God entering into the world. God, from my point of view, is both outside of the world in an infinite realm, exists in this infinite realm, and also comes in and comes inside our finite three-dimensional world. There are fancy words for that. God is transcendent outside of the world, and he's immanent inside the world, immanent with an A, immanent. When we look at each of these lessons, we see that God has entered the world in each of these lessons, and it gives us a point of reference of looking forward to the baby Jesus. Our first lesson was God formed the earth. He formed all the vegetation and the birds and the animals and the seas and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and God enters in the world and speaks to Adam and Eve directly and says, you are to keep and till this land. This is yours, and you may eat of all the fruit except for one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. God speaks to them directly. Then comes that crafty serpent. Some people think that that's the devil, and it might be, but the Bible doesn't say it's the devil. But the crafty serpent tricks Adam and Eve into eating of the fruit. And they become ashamed, and they're aware of their nakedness, and they hide, and they from fig leaves, they sew together loincloth. And God comes looking for them and comes into the world, comes into our finite world, saying, where are you? Of course, God knows where they are, but what God does, he gives them a chance to have voice and speak, just like Jesus does when he's on earth, when he talks to those in the margins, and gives people voice. And they, Adam and Eve, and tell him, said, we were tricked. And God said, well, now that this has happened, you can no longer stay in the Garden of Eden. You're going to have to go out and live in the world, and it's going to be a tough life for you and your descendants. Childbirth is going to be hard. Living off the land is going to be hard. And why did Adam and Eve choose to eat of that fruit? Probably the same reason that we make mistakes all the time ourselves, right? Maybe we don't fully trust God. Maybe we think we know what's best for ourselves. They made this mistake. But the thing that God does, we see his first signs of grace and love to humankind who continue to make mistakes, and God makes them close before he sends them out into the world. And our third lesson was from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And the thing about Isaiah, it's a long book, and it really should be separate books because it happened over different times. From the chapter 40th on, was like 2 or 3 centuries after the first part of Isaiah. And it was a time after the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon, and they'd been there for a generation. And God comes down in the world and speaks to the prophet and says, tell the people, I've got good news for them. This time has ended. The Persians are going to overrun the Babylonians, and Cyrus, their leader, is going to let you go back to Jerusalem. So here's God entering the world with good news. The next reading was Isaiah from chapter 7. That's the earlier time. This is before the kingdoms of Israel and Judah had been overrun by the Assyrians and Babylonians. And Ahaz, the king of Judah, was given a choice, and he does not follow God. And so God tells Isaiah, says, here's a prophecy. Although things are going to be bad for a while, there will be in the future a messianic age of a young woman giving birth to a child. Hope for the future, God entering the world, giving good news. And that, we'll take a break from that story just a little bit and talk about Bible translations, because we're going to talk about a little bit of that in some of those later ones, is that you can translate literally and sometimes you can translate interpretively. And because sometimes languages don't translate from one to another very well. For instance, if you take a French phrase called saying, would chicken have teeth? It's an idiom that we would have no idea what that means. So if somebody was going to translate that from French to English, they would translate it, hopefully, it's something like, when pigs fly. Because what it means, when chicken have teeth, it's not likely to happen. Just like when we say, when pigs fly. So if you look at it literally, the translator didn't copy it word for word, but tried to maintain the meaning. But sometimes you have to be careful when somebody does that, because they might be putting their own interpretation in there. So it's good to know what the original was. And in this Hebrew language of the young woman, it was, the Hebrew is young woman and not virgin. But when it was translated from Hebrew to Greek, the Greek word virgin was used. And that's how that came into play. They might have meant virgin, I'm not saying they didn't, but you should know about the history of that so you can do your own prayerful thought about that. So that story of the young woman obviously leads into our next story of Angel Gabriel going to visit Mary and telling Mary that she is going to conceive and how important the baby and what that's going to mean to the world. And Mary ponders on those things, and that's God coming into the world through the angel Gabriel speaking to Mary. And then Mary goes and visits with Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And when she gets there, the Holy Spirit enters into Elizabeth and the child. The child leaps with joy. God entering into the world, and they recognize who Mary is. Then we have the birth of John the Baptist. And everybody wants to name the baby Zechariah. Now, the story that we didn't hear earlier, that's in earlier in Luke, the angel Gabriel went to Zechariah and said, you're all going to have a baby. And Zechariah didn't believe it because they were so old. So the angel struck him dumb and he wasn't allowed to speak. But the angel told him, you're going to name the baby John. So here we are, the baby's born. The people cannot believe that they're going to name the baby John. And they look to Zechariah, who cannot speak. So he writes on a tablet, his name is John. And immediately his tongue is freed and he prophesies to the importance of what John the Baptist is going to be and for the coming of Jesus. And again, it's God, the Holy Spirit, coming in and entering Zechariah and speaking and prophesying. Then we have, make sure I don't miss one here. Then we have the big deal, right? Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the epitome of God entering into the world, the baby Jesus, and in a very humble situation. God entering in the world in the most magnificent form that we could imagine, actually becoming incarnate and living among us. And I use that term intentionally because we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And the angels came and spoke to the shepherds, God entering in the world, telling them what is happening. Then we have the reading of Hebrews. There's not a specific incident of God entering the world, but it is a scripture attesting to all these things that we've talked about, of all these times that God enters into the world. Then we come to our final reading from the Gospel of John. It's the first 18 verses, and it's the prologue to John. It's got his theology built into it, and it starts off in the beginning. And that's a definite reference back to Genesis in the first chapter, first verse of Genesis. It says, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's interesting about that first sentence in Genesis is that the translation from Hebrew is almost impossible to do correctly. We're talking about having to do some interpretive translation because Hebrew does something you cannot do in English, and that sentence starts in the middle of a sentence. And the idea is that God existed before he created the heavens and the earth. Some scholars think maybe the English translation should start with an ellipsis, like dot, 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 when God created the heavens and the earth, to give the idea of this time before. And when John talks about in the beginning was the Word, John wants to make the point that Jesus existed in that time from whatever you might call it, day one, even before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'll do a little bit of interpretive translation here. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So Jesus was there all along. This is not something, Jesus is not a new being that was created. And then later in John's Gospel, on the 14th verse, he says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. And I love that translation, lived among us, and it's not an exact translation. It's not literal. It is interpretive. Because actually it says, the Greek said, and tented among us, or pitched a tent, you might say. Other English translations say, dwell among us. But I like this idea of lived among us because when you think of living, Jesus lived fully. He didn't just dwell. He just didn't exist on the earth. He lived. He engaged with people throughout his ministry. He went and talked to all those on the margins of society, the poor, the sick, the hungry, and gave them voice, gave them an opportunity to speak for themselves. There is another translation for that phrase that I really like, and that comes from the Message that's written by or translated by Eugene Peterson. I think Sally really likes that Bible. Do you not, Sally? And that's a very interpretive translation, and I don't recommend it as being authoritative, but it's always good to maybe read other people's interpretation. And he says, and the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that a great translation? And that really struck with me because Robert talks about the neighborhood, right? About us moving the church out of the walls into the neighborhood and reaching out to the people in the neighborhood. And that's what Jesus did, right? He engaged with people in the neighborhood. And I think neighborhood can be, you know, literal or metaphorical. You know, literally maybe go out into the neighborhood and engage with people. But there are other kinds of neighborhoods, like the food pantry. There's a neighborhood of people there, right? Engage with those people that are coming in that need some help and giving them voice and hearing their story. Go into volunteering at Metropolitan Ministries or Community Kitchen and engaging with those who need help. That's a neighborhood that you can engage in. And as we celebrate Christmas, and this is the end of the Christmas season, which is so sad because I love the Christmas season, we celebrate, obviously, God coming into the world. But it's also time to reflect, what did God do after he came in this world? And Jesus went out into the neighborhood, he engaged with people, gave them voice, and gave them power, and set the example of what God and Jesus wants us to do. And it makes me think about what neighborhood am I called to go into? What neighborhood are you called to go into? Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Again, one announcement that I want to make is that this is the first Sunday of the month, so anything in the offertory plate goes to Robert's discretionary fund, so keep that in mind as the plate is passed. Is there any, what's that? No blood pressures today? Okay. We're not doing the blood pressure this Sunday. Anybody else got announcements? Joan? Okay.
All of you served up to give flowers.
Thank you.
The poinsettias, if you bought a poinsettia, you're welcome to take them today.
Thank you, John. Anybody else have any announcements? Ascribe to the Lord the riches to his name and make good your vows to the Most High. All things come of thee, and from thine own have we given thee. Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.